Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Electric Funeral. This episode, a good buddy of mine, you guys have heard him before, Preston Fox joins me, and we're talking about psychobilly. A little bit of rockabilly, too, but mostly psychobilly. This is a genre that I hold dear to my heart. I love these bands and these songs and this whole genre. It's a good part of my life was spent going to psychobilly shows and being a vendor and selling merch at these shows and just having a good time. Showed me a whole new world of music and really opened my ears and eyes to a lot of things and combined a lot of things that I loved. So it was, heavy metal and horror movies and shit. A lot of people just introduced me, I guess, to cosplay. So I guess in a way, cosplay was a part of it because a lot of people dressed up. My wife even used to get her face painted all Day of the Dead during the Day of the Dead prom nights that we used to do in Arizona. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Remember to review, rate, and share the episodes and like the Facebook page, where we'll try to keep you up to date with a lot of stuff. And one of the first bands I'm going to play is Coffin Cats. Love these guys. So I hope you enjoy this episode. All right. If you guys can't tell what this episode is about, psychobilly. And with me today is Mr. Preston Fox from Penguins with Knives. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, bro? I'm good. How you doing?
All right. We just had the first show last night from Penguins with Knives, man.
Yeah.
Fucking went pretty well.
Yeah, thanks. You were there.
Oh, yeah. I had a good time. I was surprised to see everybody came out on a Monday night. So that was pretty awesome. And
yeah, man, it went well for a first show. Pretty psyched.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I like that. We were talking earlier that I like that Grisnum was the other band that was playing that last night, and they're completely different than what you are. I love when they do that.
Yeah, we didn't want to get a band that sounded just like us or whatever, and they're definitely faster and heavier than we are.
Yeah,
and more wah, but I love that shit. It was cool. All those guys are cool cats. Thanks to those guys for coming out and playing with us.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was a good show, man. It was a good time. Good people hung out. I was pretty pretty pumped about actually how many people were there for a Monday.
Yeah, man.
And for a show and all that kind of stuff.
More to come with that.
All right. Coming soon.
Coming soon. Right back at you. Well, today I'm actually kind of excited about this. The last couple of episodes have been kind of slower, country, and then we did soul and blues, and then I did a little side notes episode of some bands that we talked about.
The country blues on the last one we did. Yeah.
Yep, we did that, and then I had McKern and Ben in here, and we did the soul blues Stax Records kind of stuff.
Right on.
And so everything's been kind of slow for the most part, and I love hearing this, and I was like. I used to be so big into psychobilly that I used to wear the 3-inch cuffs with fucking I never wore Chucks. I always wore Vans with the poplin button shirts. I still got a bunch of them I was just realizing and listening to it today, like preparing for today's episode, is that it kind of mixes everything that I love. Going back to it,
I was listening to some stuff on the way here, and I'm like, you know, it's pretty much punk rock, and it's a little country, and it's a little blues. And
a little metal and some blast beats.
R&B, you know?
You just heard that last song, just blast drums.
And by R&B, I mean like Johnny Cash rhythm.
Not Beyonce.
Yeah. just being clear, you know?
And listening today, one of my favorite bands is Coffin Cats, as you guys just heard. And I've gone over this 100 times with Preston, how much I love them and seen them.
I had a friend that turned me on. Like, I had fucking no idea who they were, and I had a friend that turned me on to them last year, and I was like, oh, cool, check these guys out, and, you know, whatever. I think I just threw them on, like, the Pandora station or something, and heard a bunch more songs. I'm like, yeah, dude, I can jam out this shit.
Yeah, they definitely put on a kick-ass show, and their style is that the Inhumane album's really where I got introduced to them. And my buddy, I was trying to show him Psychobilly, and he was like, I'm not really into it. I don't know. You know, then I took him to a show. I was like, well, you love Misfits, right? And he's like, dude, I love Misfits. It's one of my favorite bands. And I was like, all right, this is like, you think of the Misfits, you know, kind of reincarnated. And we went to a show, and he had a fucking good-ass time, and he has that bellow of his kind of singing. And that's the band that kind of got me into Psychobilly.
The Misfits with better guitar players.
Yeah, I guess that can play fucking heavy riffs and shit. But Misfits was the band that it got me into not only punk rock but psychobilly, and got me into the horror thing. That's why I love them, is like mixes that thrash with horror movie themes, you know, and metal and punk rock. And
I think if people ask me what, you know, psychobilly is, I'm like, well, I'm, you know, even if they don't know what rockabilly is, so I might even skip that altogether and tell them, but like, take the Misfits and take the Stray Cats and throw them in a fucking blender. And,
there you go. That's good.
What you're gonna get.
Yeah, that's that's a good. And I've been researching it just from my own brain. Is like listening to all these bands. I'm like, it's kind of a wide variety of bands and sounds within psychobilly. It's not just one thing, because you have a little more honky tonk and shit. And then you'll have, you know, heavy shit like the Coffin Cats. And they've actually progressed their sound to, there's some bands like the Quakes that have new wave, you know, and the Tiger Army, they cover some new wave songs, you know, like they do Killing Moon and stuff like that. And, and Send Me an Angel.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, if you're not familiar with, you know, a lot of this music, Tiger Army and Living End both were huge. You know, I guess what, late 90s?
Yeah.
Early 2000s, most of those guys came around. But, you know, I would say those are the more popular Americanized, you know, versions of it. But, that's what I, you know, I guess, I want to say grew up listening to, but that was probably the first couple of bands I heard.
Yeah, that's what you got. And familiarized. Everybody gets into the Tiger Army. They put on a great show. They sound great. Nick 13 released a country album that was all right. It was okay.
Yeah. I've never heard that.
Yeah. He does a couple songs that were actually on the Target Army. I believe it's Outlaw Heart. And
is it kind of like similar like to what Mike Ness did?
No, because so, like, he just has such a different voice and style.
I don't mean music wise, but you
he
know,
did covers. Well, no, I don't think he covered his own shit. He may have covered one other song. Yeah. I can't.
I know,
bought the album.
I know Mike Ness like honky tonked up some Soul City songs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know. I love Tiger Army. I have a Tiger Army tattoo. You know what I mean? And anyways, we'll move on from them. There's a lot of bands, though, that I just want people to know about that probably. It's really, really makes me think of punk rock and how some bands, they will do one album, bunch of kids, and you'll never hear from them again. You know, that's some of these bands just, They never, like, there's bands in Tijuana. There's, like, the Crewmen out in Great Britain, but they're also, they're huge in Germany. You know, there's all these great bands. It's like the Quakes. They had to move to fucking England, you know, when they first started out. They're from Buffalo, but they had to move to England to get their shit going. But you got somebody you want to hear? Anybody particular? Play a couple songs?
I mean, we were talking about it earlier. Let's play some Necromantics. I think that's a good place to go.
Little fun fact, Necromantics is the only psychobilly band that's ever won a Grammy.
No shit.
Yeah, they won a Grammy for world music because they're from Copenhagen.
Really?
And I think it was... It's the one, it's a red album cover. I think it's... Was it Demons Are a Girl's Best Friend is the album. And they won a Grammy for that. So it's probably not one that they actually went and accepted. They probably just gave them in the mail. Hey, you won a Grammy.
I'm just going to kind of play a random song because I think that's going to be fun for me to do it this
way. Hey, anything by Necromantics, yeah. You're really fucking...
And I know I've heard this album before, so I know I like stuff off of it. So I'm just going
to
go
there. Oh, yeah, Return of the Living Dead. That's fucking The Loving Dead. Yeah. Return of the Living Dead. This is a great album.
Just because I think it's a... A great song name. We're going to play Generation 666.
Do it. It's good. I fucking love Necromantics. I haven't listened to them in so long. If you don't know, you might have heard of Horror Pops.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he plays bass in that, and actually, does he play guitar? I think the lead singer, and he found her, the chick, and she almost sounds like Gwen Stefani
with a psychobilly band. I've heard that before. They're
really good.
You mentioned the bass, so I mean, I'm going to talk about that for a minute. You know, you listen to how fast these cats play, and they're all playing on stand-up basses, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
You know, that's not easy to do, and you know, that was a thing that, you know, a lot of dudes in the 50s did, all your Eddie Cochran guys or Buddy Holly guys, or you know,
yeah,
some of those old cats did a lot of that. But you know, for to go out on stage and have an instrument that big, you know, and rock it out the way they do and play as fast as they do, that's pretty incredible. I think that's badass.
Yeah,
that's one of the coolest
things. And fucking His stand-up bass is awesome. It's the shape of a coffin with a cross and all that kind of shit. And him and, like, Vic Victor from Coffin Cats, like, stand on top of them, fucking Three Bad Jacks, them light them on fire. Oh, yeah, they go crazy, and they electrify them and fucking rub them. It's just crazy, yeah. That's what drew me to was that and that slapping with it, you know, the slap
is,
bass.
You know, because I've seen a lot of these bands live, if anything, or, you know, you'll see some local band live. Definitely have seen some in Texas. But, and there was a place in Chicago I used to go hang out at that also had rockabilly, and it's like a billy bands play too. But, you know, I don't even think records do these bands justice, because I think when you go see them live, the energy that's actually on stage is really what kind of makes it.
They literally have a cult following to their bands, you know.
That's the one thing I guess I can say I know, is going to see these bands live is... it's an experience, because, yeah, you know, you can go see whatever you're into and sure, whatever they put on, whatever show they do. But like I said, I don't think CDs do a lot of these bands justice. Not saying the CDs are bad, but live, I think, experience is the way to go. If you can catch any of these bands live, I mean, I would do it.
I just think of the early hardcore punk rock original, like... following, you know, like if you're not capturing these kids now, you know, like you're gonna disappear. And a lot of these bands like Necromantix and Coffin Cats and Tiger Army, the reason why they stayed relevant in this small little niche genre is that they tour, and they keep making music. Like fucking all those bands. Oh, Tiger Army, I think, has about 5 or 6 albums that are coming out. Their new one that they haven't released a new one in, I don't know, 6 years.
They were on tour with Dropkicks.
Yeah, they were just here. I missed them. I was in Memphis.
Yeah, me too. I don't even know why I missed it, but I did. I think it was a Sunday or some shit.
It was, yeah. Yeah, it was right before St. Patty's.
Yeah, I got Ben Russell on those days. I don't get to do anything fun on Sundays.
No, it's all good.
Well, except for play music.
Yeah, I got back that night, and I was trying to, I think Rock and Roll Marathon was going on downtown. Yeah. I could not even return my rental car because they fucking shut it down, and it was some bullshit.
Right on.
But there's if you're not like staying, if you don't go see these bands, you may never see them again. That's just like I'm saying with the punk rock shit, you may never see some of these bands. Like a band that I knew the drummer of, this was called Stitch Hopeless and the Sea Legs out of Phoenix. Great, great band. I think they only had 2 albums. And I think Shane, he was actually a really good tattoo artist, owned a shop in Phoenix, moved to Texas and works on the railroads. Right. You know what I mean? But, you know, I got to go where the money's at. Speaking to them, I wanted to play something from them, unless you got something.
I'll play something real quick because I know you wanted to play a little bit more music today anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you play something.
While you're looking, I want to play a song by... and I just played them for you earlier, but Southern Culture on the Skids. And I think I heard this fucking album, and like I said, probably back in late 90s, early 2000s. It's kind of when I got into all that stuff.
Hell yeah.
And I remember I used to jam the hell out of this CD.
I'm not too familiar, but...
Well, actually, yeah. This album came out in 95.
Oh, so, shit.
Yeah. But this is a fucking song called Nitty Gritty, and it was off Dirt Track Date.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, that's definitely. See, that's the. Were you going to play another one?
No.
Did I interrupt it?
Right. No. No, I just forgot to hit stop. That's all. Okay.
No, that's like. That's exactly what the fucking variety of psychobilly or rockabilly, in a sense. I think some of even like Dwight Yoakam considers himself psychobilly.
I mean, like that's all it has. If you're all you people ever been to fucking New Orleans before, you go to like a burlesque show. That's the kind of song you kind of hear.
It's oh yeah,
very swingy, but it's still, it's got that rockabilly or psychobilly vibe, whatever you want
to
call it.
And the music just has a sense of humor to it. Like it's always poking fun at sexuality or horror shit. And,
yeah.
Just making it, sliding it in there, and you don't even know. You're like, did they just say what the fuck I think they said? But a lot of this goes back to punk rock for me. It always makes me feel like Stitch Hopeless and the Sea Legs. They do a great cover, an Agent Orange song. I think it's Bloodbath. And then there's some stuff that you could tell like almost like Dropkick Murphys feel to it, But I want to play the song called Work and Drink. By Stitch Hopeless and the Sea Legs off the Gone Bats. I wanted to play a couple things. See, I could play some of this shit. I could just play the albums front to back, because it also brings a lot of back memories for me. But let's play this this song right here.
But I'm doing what I can do.
That's the story of my life right there. I work and drink and work.
Yeah, actually, Shane and his wife, Carly, had us at their house years and years ago. When we first got to Phoenix, my buddy Ron, we were just new in town and fucking invited us over. Next thing you know, psychobilly band's playing in the middle of the yard. And I was like, this is fucking awesome. It was right. A great way to welcome myself, to get welcomed to Phoenix by Shane and his girl at that time. But that I actually really love that album. This super psychobilly, especially, it reminds me a lot of Arizona. And definitely gives me some of that Dropkick Murphys working class kind of music there.
Yeah.
But this
you heard his voice too.
You know? Oh yeah. Yeah, you can see them at the Waffle House after the bars closes. can't miss the lead singer's.
We're going to the Waffle House.
Huge blonde pompadour. When we're all getting drunk at the Denny's or the Waffle House after the shows get over. You got anybody else that you wanted to play?
Yeah, man. I was talking to one of my buddies earlier, because every time we do one of these, I'm like, hey, you know, we're doing this kind of episode today. And I'm like, you know, these are bands I kind of listen to. I'm like, what do you like? I just like to fucking talk to him about it and see what he's into. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe I always play, you know, a song or two that he likes. But this is a band called Devil's Brigade, and all it pretty much is a Rancid.
I was just listening to them yesterday.
And this is Rancid, you know, it's Matt Freeman's band, but Tim and Lars both play on the album.
Yeah,
so it's basically fucking Rancid just rolled reversed.
Yeah,
you know,
and he plays stand up bass.
Yeah,
Matt Freeman does, and their big claim to fame is they actually had a song on Sons of Anarchy.
Okay,
yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this Devil's Brigade? I think they're playing Darlene. That was one of the big songs.
Do you want to play that? Because is that the one?
Yeah,
is that the one?
Mine is I'm My Own Man. I think that's one of the songs. That's
My Own Man Now.
Yeah, My Own Man Now is my shit. But Darlene was their big one. So you pick and choose whichever one.
We'll play the not big one.
The not big one. Play we'll yeah. Play
the not big one.
Play. They're not all big.
Here's the band that you know. I fucking love Rancid. And it's just speaking with them real quick. You know, a lot of the big rockabilly, psychobilly revival, I guess, as they called it, was a lot to do with Tim Armstrong and Hellcat Records.
Hellcat Records, and absolutely.
That Tiger Army and all those cats.
You took the words out of my mouth.
But, yeah. So, you know, basically every band on that label is good. You know,
literally
every single one of them. So, you know, check all that shit out.
Yeah, check out Hellcat Records and check out Devil's Brigade. That makes me think of another band called the Tombstone Brawlers. Now, I believe they're out of Brooklyn. I know they play some. They played some shows in Coney Island.
Brooklyn.
And stuff. Brooklyn. No sleep. But the lead singer was actually from another band out of Seattle called Los Gatos Locos. And they only had one album that I know of. And I don't know if he did any. I know he did some shows with them, but then I saw some videos of them later, and it was another guy singing for them. But they just didn't sound the same. But they were still good. But there's so many good songs off of their album called Meat Hook Lover. And they have this whole thing called Worldwide Animal Control. If you ever see anybody like a psychobilly dude wearing WWAC, that's what it is.
Okay.
I don't know what the fuck it's about, but they always hear them yelling, this is for the animal control.
The more you know, check mark.
Oh, yeah, exactly. but there's some great songs. I wanted to play Where Have You Been. A lot of them are like it's like serial killer songs, so it's actually pretty awesome.
Totally off subject, but you ever listen to Macabre?
No, I haven't.
They're like a death metal band. Like literally every single one of their songs is about different serial killers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I want to say they're from Illinois or Indiana or some okay. shit. Because they used to fucking tour through there all the time. But like I hung out with those dudes and they're wild. They were signed forever. I don't know if they're still around or not. But like probably like, I don't know, 98, 99 kind of era. Like they had an album called Dahmer. Like,
okay.
Like, it was just Dahmer's face on the fucking cover.
Hell album. Yeah.
You were just talking about circus. I know that's, think of it real quick.
That's like there's a band called Church of Misery. You probably heard of them.
Yeah,
they do all serial killer shit. You know, like Kingdom Scum is such a great. They're releasing a new album, but it used to be an all Japanese band, and the album's called Takeshi Miike, but that's a director. The Japanese
Miike.
From fucking Ichi the Killer. I forgot his name. Oh, I feel like such a dick now.
I knew you were talking about
anybody's, but the bass player. I guess he actually. Recorded with like a first all-American band.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do the vocal, so it's always somebody different that's like their third different vocalist. But they're great too. Thy Kingdom Scum is probably fucking.
Is it a different vocalist as much as Ghost has different vocalists?
I mean
that as a joke, by the way.
Yeah, they have. Don't they have a shit ton of vocalists?
One Papa 1, 2, and 3, who I think are all the same guy.
Oh, really? Okay. They have had, I think, three or four different vocalists, and they all sound completely different, so to their credit. But the last guy I liked, he had like kind of almost a Phil Anselmo growl to the singing over like Black Sabbath riffs. So, you know, if like they have Masters of Brutality was one of their albums.
Yeah.
Houses of the Unholy, you know. So that's kind of their shit. Anyways, so I want to play this song called Where Have You Been off of Tombstone Brawlers.
My ADD got me.
Oh, no, that's what this is all about. This is because this is what we do when we're hanging out together. So it only makes sense that we would ramble and do all that kind of shit because we're always talking about music.
Yes, I know we're talking about psychobilly, but real quick, I'm going to talk about a death metal band.
Exactly. All right, here you go. I love that shit. They definitely have their own swing to
the
shit.
The guitar tone's fucking fantastic.
Exactly, dude. They I love that album. That album's fucking 10 years old at this point. 2006. Holy fuck.
Jesus.
I think I found that when it was new, too. I have that on CD somewhere. I think I've downloaded it a couple times. But his other band, Los Gatos Locos, is actually really good.
I feel like I knew who that is.
You probably would, you know.
The name just sounds super familiar to me. I don't know.
Yeah, they're fucking waiting for an album called Sociopaths Get the Blues.
Yeah.
And I don't think it ever got released, but it's always like they'll release like a song every year or something like that for it. If I'm not mistaken, but maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, they're fucking great. They remind me a lot of Sasquatch, but I play fucking King Sickabilly like on every episode, that like the last three episodes, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we played them a little bit on the country episode, and I think I'm not mistaken.
What song was that?
It was.
I remember you talking.
God's Hand. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then I played him on the last episode where he has this one man band where it's just him with a kick drum and the tambourine and doing all that shit. And just that's
doing the whole stompy thing.
Yeah.
I was just talking about that with a buddy earlier. And like, don't get me wrong, like the music he sent me was completely like more upbeat and like totally fucking up. But I was just saying there's something just really cool about just, you know, that whole stomping, clapping, some tambourine and some music.
If you can get it down, man, that's fucking awesome. That's like kind of what Billy Bragg used to do and shit, wearing a fucking generator on his back, walking around fucking like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins. But yeah, he did that. The Reverend Deadeye played in the last episode. He's a one-man band. I think he actually has his wife play the washboard occasionally. So you're like,
speaking of reverends, you know, Reverend Horton Heat. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I know everybody in the fucking world that likes this kind of music knows.
He's fucking excellent, though.
You know, that was a big guy who got me into this kind of music as well.
Yeah, it's a Sockabilly freak.
Yeah, I mean, dude's just fucking wild live, too. I mean, he's fucking insane. And he really is. I mean, that dude's fucking totally nuts on stage. But I think it was fucking one time, my buddy saw him, I think, the Double Door in Chicago. And he's like, yeah, he was so fucking wasted, he like just fell off the stage and everybody and just grabbed his microphone and just kept on singing. I don't know how true that story is. I wasn't there, but yeah.
There's always some truths. I just heard Iggy Pop tell a story about how, like, oh, yeah, Iggy Pop, you know, he shits on himself and he rolls around in glass on stage. And
I thought that was G.G. Allin.
G.G. Allin will throw shit and throw at you, but like,
those are facts.
And but they said that Iggy Pop was like, well, I was out on, I forget who's playing in New York or something like that. Maybe it's L.A. Anyways, he says that I'm playing a show and everybody's sitting down and I'm trying to get them into the show. And it's a bunch of critics. It's not even really like fans there. He's like, I'm just seeing all their glasses fucking reflecting back at me. So I'm trying to go crazy. And a piece of glass, I think he kicked something and a piece of glass fell on the ground and he jumps off the stage even though nobody's out there. And he stage dives and lands on the glass.
Oh, Jesus.
And so he's bleeding out of his side, but he keeps the show going.
Well, I mean, he always cut himself. I mean, he did do that.
Yeah.
But
he's like, but it made like people telling me that I roll around in glass. But I think I heard something about him cutting himself too.
Yeah, he used to do that all the time back in the 70s and shit.
And they had the peanut butter. That like I guess he was
the peanut butter. I don't know. Okay, that
story. So there's a maybe that's what they got. He rubbed shit on him. Is that he was? There's a big picture like everybody walks of him standing up. It's one of the first shows when he's really really young, and he's just standing on top of everybody holding him up while he's singing. And somebody throws a jar of peanut butter at him, and he catches it.
Okay.
And he's all, "What else do I do with this jar of peanut butter? Rub it all over myself while I'm singing." So I was like, all right.
What kind of peanut butter was it?
Was it like crunchy?
Or was it like Skip? Was it some good shit?
Hopefully it was that creamy shit. You know, you don't want that chunky shit all over you.
No.
So you wanted to play some Reverend Horton Heat?
Oh, yeah, we can.
He's like one of the godfathers of making it popular, man.
I was just kind of talking about it, but we can definitely fucking play some.
Yeah, absolutely. Reverend Horton Heat puts on quite the show. My buddy Tommy has a story about opening for him.
I've never actually seen him.
I've never seen him either.
I've been told to go see him.
I've seen his videos.
I think he's playing here at One Eye Jack soon, if I'm not mistaken.
We got to go see him.
I got to check it out. I'll look it up here in a minute.
He's one of those guys that you got to see while he's still alive. It's like why I keep emphasizing to people is like, go see live music. You're not going to get this chance anymore. You know, like,
my shit's fucking up here.
It's one of the reasons why I fucking, why I collect vinyl. It's like something to hold on to in a day and age of digital, you know, like you've been converting over how many CDs over digital just so you don't have to carry them around.
Yeah. I mean, like 1,000. Yeah. And, like, and I'm not even, I mean, I have tons of CDs I owned and I sold off, so I could buy other ones. So I burned them before I fucking sold them off. So yeah. I have all those as well.
Goddamn.
And I end up fucking burning, like, I end up fucking having to do 3,000 CDs, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I mean, some of them I might not even do because I'm not going to listen to it anymore. And if I really want to, I can always fucking.
I know I need to throw away like a bunch of DVDs I got. I got like a shit ton of DVDs. I'm like, who still has these? But some of them I just can't throw away.
So do you have any specific song you want to hear, or do you just want me to go ahead? And
let's see. What do we got?
Cause I'm really familiar with It's Martini Time as far as albums go.
I can't tell you a whole lot of Reverend Horton Heat's song titles. I know the ones is if you got them. But I don't know.
We're gonna play Crooked Cigarette.
Yeah, that's a great song. That or the Galaxy 500 is a great song too.
A lot of these bands, I don't know how newer like the bands you're playing are.
Well, you just heard that fucking last one I played was from 2006.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff I like, and this seems to be a trend, is everything in like the mid 90s, early 2000s was kind of the time frame when I listened to it, you know.
Well, that's when it got really popular, at least for me. My sister used to do, she knows like a. She was really into like the swing dance shit, like fucking Cherry Pop and Daddy's Big Voodoo Daddy.
I love that
shit.
Yeah. I think that shit's awesome. It's wonderful.
Yeah, so she kind of got me into that shit.
It's literally fun music to drink beer to and fucking go out and have a good time.
That's what this is. That's what I was going to say, is that like literally I'm like, I need another beer because listen to this shit.
It's kind of like I just want to smoke a cigarette and drink a beer and, you know, go out and have fun.
Absolutely.
Watch beautiful girls and, you know, dresses dance around.
Well, that's the thing too, is that this is. That's why I was drawn to it. It's like, it's not so serious.
Yeah.
It you go out, you have fun. People dress up, you know. A lot of the girls can overdress or be too big for what the fuck they're wearing, you know. But, hey, I hope they're having fun. Hey, fucking, who am I to hate on you? Do your thing, girl. But
the girls need love too, bro.
Trust me, they get it. They get it. They get it. They get some love. But, yeah, it's just drinking, you know, not too serious, you know. Like, we were talking about the reason why you guys did Penguins and Knives is, like, metal bands take themselves so fucking seriously.
Man, you know, and that I was talking about someone the other day. I'm like, look, dude, our lyrics are serious. Our music is serious. Our name doesn't have to fucking be some cryptic fucking weird cool thing, you know. It's just, it's a total fucking inside joke that's totally retarded that we made up when we were drunk.
Yeah.
And we're like, that shit's hilarious, and people tend to like it. So,
I told the homie while I was getting tattooed, the one of the cats over there, and I was like, my buddy's gonna be playing Monday night over a Black Label. He's like, what's the name of their band? I'm like, Penguins and Knives. He just started laughing. Right. He was like, what?
And that's,
I was like,
that's usually the jerk reaction we get is like, what? Like, Penguins and Knives, huh? I'm like, yeah, like, okay. And then it's kind of laugh.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not like an offensive thing that they're laughing, because it's meant to be funny.
Yeah,
you know, because I mean, I like, we're just a bunch of friends hanging out having a good time like this anyways.
Absolutely.
There's no need to be, ooh, we're fucking in a metal band.
Did you listen to my name? It's fucking Warpath. Like, Kingdom.
Not that I'm super old, but I'm still too old for that shit. You know, if I was 20, it'd be, you know, fucking
super serious.
You know, by Kingdom by the Gates of Dawn or some shit. whatever the fuck stupid thing you come up with.
Fucking Bring Me the Horizon.
Yeah.
I think that's actually a band.
Yeah.
Bring Me the Horizon.
Bring Me to the Horizon. Bring
there
me,
you go.
Yeah, whatever the fuck they're called. They're not bad.
Event Horizon is a great movie. I know that.
No, it's not.
Fuck yeah, it is. You're fucking melting their faces off, fucking Sam Hill.
I don't know. I get that and Sphere always mixed up.
So. No, not Sphere. No. Event Horizon's where, like, fucking Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne get their faces melted off.
Yeah, because I remember they came out at, like, the exact same fucking time. So I've always gotten the two movies mixed up. But anyways.
So let's play some Reverend Horton Heat. Crooked Cigarette. Also check out Galaxy 500. Yeah.
Fucking Sphere.
Yeah.
Here's a trick that I found. You break it on apart and you turn it around. You slide it in easy and you twist it in tight. Hey, buddy, got a light. A trick that I found. You break it on apart and you turn it around. You slide it in easy and you twist it in tight. Hey, buddy, got a light. Well, I'm full of that malt liquor bull, but I'm set.
I'm just gonna play another one.
There you go for it, man.
All right.
Don's got a stand-up bass, dude. I totally need to fucking, like, when we record, I really want to fucking use it for one of our songs.
Hell yeah. Figure this one fits.
In a pig's cut, you will get your up over that hill and get me some chicken, woman. Get me some frying hens. Give me a pie, some smokes, a bag of dope, and a six pack of beer. Yeah! In a pig's cut, you could afford to move to my neighborhood and get me some chicken, woman. Fetch me some frying hens. Give me a pie, some smokes, a bag of dope, and a 12-pack of beer.
Your daddy's thirsty.
Chicken, woman, fix me some frying hens. Give me a pie, some smokes, a bag of dope, and a half a keg of beer.
Daddy's thirsty.
What was the name of this song?
And a pig's cunt.
Awesome. That was good. I like that song. So we're switching up a little bit, and I was talking to you about this artist earlier. It's J.D. McPherson, fucking badass songwriter. His first album came out in 2012, Signs of Signifiers, and that's when I first heard him. And I think he's played on like Jimmy Fallon now, and he's kind of got blown up a little bit. But he's more rhythm and blues and rockabilly, but I really fucking like him.
Hey, if it fits, play it.
Shouting, it's all gone but the need. for me. It's all over but the shouting. It's all done but the beat. It's all healed but the hurting. It's all gone but the need. There's a voice in my head that's a calling. Time moves at a puzzling speed. If I don't get some quiet, if I don't get it right, then I might start to wonder why put up a fight. It's all over but the shouting. It's all done but the beat. It's all healed but the hurting. It's all gone but the need.
The Colonel.
That fucking guy. Need a ride? An hour and a half later? Yeah, maybe.
It's all over but the shouting. It's all done but the deed. It's all healed but the hurting. It's all gone but the
go completely off the fucking train tracks right now. And
oh shit.
Here we go again. I want to go completely off the train tracks because It is this next album's birthday, I guess you could say.
Okay.
And it came out in 1982. And if y'all don't fucking know it too bad, that's Iron Maiden.
Hold on. Pause that. I got one for you. I got one.
You got one for me?
I got.
It's got to be a Number of the Beast, though. It's got to be.
It is Number of the Beast. Okay. It's by Tombstone Brawlers. I almost played it.
So do they have a Maiden cover?
They have fucking the Number of the Beast.
Let's do that.
All right.
Let's do that.
All right. So it's going to be the
I'm okay with it.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. And we're probably going to wrap it up here pretty soon. Shit. We got a shit ton of songs in there. Right after we played Reverend Horton Heat, we played Sasquatch and the Sickabillies in a Pig's Cunt. I love that one. And then the last one was the Guanabats, Unconditional Love. And I want to play them or the Lone Shark. But that the Guanabats song is probably early 90s.
Yeah.
You know, so it's still relevant because it's timeless music. Anyways, okay. Let's get to the Number of the Beast.
That works for me.
Yeah.
I left alone. Yes. My mind was blank. I needed time to think, to get the memories from my mind. What did I see? Could I believe that what I saw that night was real and not just fantasy? Just what I saw in my own dreams. Were they reflections of
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
What'd you think of that?
That's awesome.
Fuck yeah, dude. I almost played that, but I'll just keep it some original shit. Yeah. That was fucking awesome. Good shit.
Yeah, man.
I like how your mind thinks, my friend.
Well, dude, that's fucking Iron Maiden. I think that what? How old are you? Are you 34 or 35?
I will be 35 coming up here.
Yeah, so we're the same age, so... That album came out when we were one.
That's true. No shit, man.
1982. Yeah,
stands like, the test of
God
time.
God damn. People still go out, I guess they learn who they are. And they're like, most people are like, yeah, buy that or Peace of Mind first and then get everything else.
Dude, I wasn't even introduced to Iron Maiden by the music. I was introduced from the shirt.
Oh, yeah.
From the shirt. I was on the bus. I must have been fourth grade or something like that. Because I remember the big kids were in the back. And so that means I was like 9 years old, I think. So it must have been 1989, something like that.
You're four? Wait, what?
In fourth grade.
Oh, in fourth grade. Okay. That's
like, fourth grade.
Did you just say you were four and then nine all of a sudden?
No, fourth grade. So I'm usually, 4 or 5 years older than the grade you're in.
Right.
I think that's usually the math that I try to break it down. So I was 8 or 9 years old. And there was just a fucking, one of the big kids in the back was just talking about, he had an Iron Maiden shirt on and was talking about metal. And I just... some reason he was talking to me, probably was like in seventh grade or something like that, fucking 80s. I was like, that shirt is awesome. He's like, Iron Maiden? I was like, no, but I want to.
Right. Well, I had the pleasure of having an older brother. I just knew who they were.
Yeah.
He still always tells me to this day that like Peace of Mind was the first album that I went to a store and picked up. Like, I don't know how true that is, but that's what he always tells me.
Fuck, that's awesome.
He's like, you were like 3 or 4 years old, and you were like, I want that. I probably like saw his cassette tape or something. He probably had it already, or he probably had like, cause I know he had like the first, I know he had like Iron Maiden and Killers. I know he had them on cassette because I used to listen to them.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that you can remember that far back, but I can't remember yesterday. But anyways.
Hey, sometimes there's special places in your brain for
those
kinds of things.
I have a special place in my heart for that band, so that's why I wanted to
I remember,
talk about Iron Maiden for a minute.
Them and I was trying to buy the three bands my mom would not let me buy because of the album covers was Motorhead. She let me get Too Short, though, not Motorhead, because it's just a dude on a cover with a gold chain. She's like, that's okay. That Motorhead looks evil. And there was Slayer and Megadeth.
See, but Motorhead... I mean, she just bought Ace of Spades. They're just staying in the fucking desert.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, exactly. No shit.
It's a bunch of cowboys staying in the desert.
And it was Slayer, and then it was Megadeth. It was... fuck, I can't remember what it was, but I used to love the video that they had when it was like cartoons in it, too. It was in the 80s, fucking anyways. Yeah, Iron Maiden's awesome. Unless you got something, man. I think we're at an hour.
I think that's a good place to stop.
We're going to do a part two when Rickern. We're going to leave it up to grabs when Rickern gets his ass over here. Because Ryan was supposed to join us on this episode.
The Colonel!
And he is asleep or something. I don't know what he's doing. But
he's asleep, hanging out.
Or knee deep.
With a bottle somewhere.
Right? Something like that. Being the ambassador of the French Quarter.
Or he's dancing with towels, I don't know. It's McColonel.
As always, man, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. It was fun.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, you guys, go like us on Facebook. Share the episodes, rate, review. Go like Penguins with Knives. Be on the lookout for any live shows and upcoming music that they're going to be releasing.
Electric motherfucking funeral.
That's right.
Tim Daniel, motherfuckers.
That's right. You know it. All right. Follow us on Instagram, too. Preston's at the Preston Fox.
I am the one and only
the
Preston Fox.
And I'm Tim Daniel _ Murderface. So we'll see you guys next week.
Hey, brat, you had me a typo.